Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight. Tom in New Berlin from the 414 says, Pete, love that you can laugh at yourself. If you can't laugh at yourself, how can you laugh at others? Tom, I totally agree. I don't even trust people who can't laugh at themselves. They're no fun to be around. But they're still people, and I love them, therefore. That's a great one, though. Also, our question tonight is, it's National Vegetable Day. What is your favorite vegetable and what is your least favorite vegetable? We've gotten some great answers so far. The odds on favorite so far. Conrad, what would you say?
There's so many different answers.
Raw Brussels sprouts was the worst. I can't even imagine anyone would attempt to do something like that.
I think there's two that said mushrooms, myself and my mom. So okay. maybe that one.
Runs in the family. All right. Frank Thompson coming up at 8:20. We're going to talk some Bob and Ray. We're going to talk about the book he wrote about the Alamo and one of our horrible gigs we did together as TV writers. Right now, with us for just a few more minutes, being so gracious with his time, is Piet Levy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can check out all the work, the great work he does there, especially this week with Summerfest opening this weekend. He will break everything down in his what's the best way to get the Journal Sentinel now, Piet? Is it just online?
Yeah, you can get online, but you can get paper copies too. I mean, if you go to jsonline.com/summerfest,
okay,
we're gonna have a ton of Summerfest coverage. I mean, I'll be there every day of the festival. We have right now, you know, picks for what you can see and all sorts of need to know info. And then we'll have reviews every day, reviews of the amphitheater shows, reviews of a bunch of side stage shows, photo galleries, video recasts discussing the best and worst of each weekend. Tons of stuff. Tons of stuff.
That's so great. You know, we were talking about the Bodines before the break. I know they're going to be at Summerfest, I think, on July 6th. It made me start thinking, do you have a favorite act that's come out of Milwaukee, whether it's the Violent Femmes or the Bodines or, you know, Paul Seaver? I don't know. What bands, do you have a favorite that's come from the city?
Man, it's tough to say a favorite, but I'm guessing I've probably written about the Femmes more than anyone just because they have accomplished so much. And I've really, really been lucky and it's been exciting to kind of cover them throughout the years. I remember doing like an oral history on them, probably, 10 years ago now.
Nice.
Or whether it's like I talked to Brian about, they did a show with the Milwaukee Symphony last fall. It was really, really cool talking to him about that. I mean, so I think I probably have covered the Femmes more than anyone else. But, you know, there is so much great stuff coming out of Milwaukee that is just so fun to kind of check out. And, you know, this year we're going to be doing at Summerfest, you know, something I've wanted to do, and I'm glad we're doing it this year. I wanted to, you know, make sure that we do this. And we're going to be reviewing like a Milwaukee act every day too. So, you know, we always do picks for Milwaukee acts.
That's great.
We always review Milwaukee acts, but I made an effort this year. I was like, you know, there's a lot of great side stage headliners and stuff, but I really want to carve out some room, make sure we cover Milwaukee artists every day. So we will be covering at least one Milwaukee artist every day. And just really excited to be doing that this year because there's just so much good stuff from all across the board.
That's fantastic. Let's step outside of the Summerfest grounds for just a minute. And let me ask you, what is your favorite venue in Milwaukee? Like if you have to go review a band or an artist, is there a place you're almost hoping they play that you like to go to? What's your favorite venue?
People ask me that, and I'm kind of great with pretty much every venue. I know that some people will be like, oh, they may not like, maybe it's like the Rave, or they might be like, oh, I don't like arena shows, and I don't want to necessarily see something at Pfizer Forum because it's arena. Yeah. And I'm of the position where it's like, you know, I'm cool to kind of go anywhere. I mean, I definitely love the intimacy of like a room like Cactus Club because it is so small, or the intimacy of Shank Hall, it is so small. I really love the, it's gone now, but the Northern Lights Theater at Pottawatomie Casino. That was a great, great theater because the sight lines were amazing, 500 seats, great acoustics everywhere. That was just a great place to see a show. Pabst Theater, it's just a beautiful place. And again, feels very intimate. There's never like, you know, if something's, whether it's at the Rave or it's at, you know, the amphitheater, even at like the ballpark. I mean, if a show is good, it's good no matter what size the venue is, I feel like. So I'm not necessarily a stickler in terms of like, oh, it has to be this venue or that venue, because I've enjoyed shows at every venue. I've disliked shows at every venue. So that's my take.
That's a great answer. My guest is Piet Levy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Check out his work there. He will be breaking down Summerfest for the next few weeks. So definitely check out his work. And I love that you're picking one Milwaukee band. I want to ask you, you got kids. The box office, I don't know how well you follow the U.S. box office or movies, but it's taken a beating. The numbers are way down this summer. They came up a little bit last week with Bad Boys Ride or Die. This week, Inside Out 2 opened and just crushed the box office and worldwide everywhere. It broke records. Do you go to the theater a lot with your kids? And what have you guys seen this summer, if so?
Yeah, I mean, we love to go to the movies. I mean, all my kids really like to spend a lot of summers in the movies. I think, maybe you mentioned this already, but I think what we're seeing is, the strikes from last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying this is just a, armchair analysis, but the strikes from last year, this really seems, based on what I've read and what I'm seeing, really just has taken a toll on terms of the release schedule. So, I was thinking to last summer and how, my son, he's older. So he and I went to probably more movies because there were more PG-13 movies they can kind of go to. So we saw like the Mission Impossible movie and Indiana Jones and went to go see, all of us saw Barbie, all of us saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie last summer. All of us saw Elemental last summer. I mean, we were just there so much last year. on Father's Day, when my wife was asking, what do you want to do? And I really wanted to see Inside Out 2, and the kids really wanted to get to a movie, and they really wanted to see that. So that's what we did on Sunday, and we had an awesome time. I mean, everyone really loved the movie, but it was the first time that all of us had been in a movie in 6 months, because the last movie that we all were interested in seeing was Wonka. I think we saw that around Christmas. So we haven't all been to a movie since then. My son and I went to see Doom 2. He wanted to go see Doom 2 for his birthday, so we did that. That was part of the birthday festivities with seeing that, and he loved that. I loved that. But we haven't all, aside from, I'll correct myself, we've seen some movies at the Milwaukee Public Museum at the Dome. But in terms of seeing a feature-length film, we haven't done that in 6 months. And it was just great. It was so great because we all loved the movie. It was really fun. Really liked that one. All of us were big fans.
I think a lot of people were like you, because for them to pull in the numbers they did, I think a lot of people just decided this is the movie we're going to see, and they liked Inside Out 1, obviously. I haven't seen either one, so that's on my list this week. Oh, yeah. I need to watch both of them because I've heard Inside Out 2 is incredible. And since my kids are older now, I don't see those films as much anymore. But I guess If is supposed to be really good. Garfield's had some staying power, so it sounds like you've got other films to see if you want to keep doing that this summer.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't see Garfield or If. Got to kind of pull and see if they want to. Like I said, my son is a little more interested in seeing some of the older PG-13 movies. But even looking at the summer, it's not like last summer. I'm a little bummed because I know he wants to go to movies. But last summer, we saw a lot of movies. And this summer, looking at the schedule, I mean, we're not going to see Deadpool because it's R. And we're not going to see Alien because it's R. I mean, we might see Twisters, maybe. It just seems like a quieter summer for even PG-13 movies. So I don't know. That might be kind of what's going on a little bit too.
I think a lot of the big releases got pushed too because of the strike, at least based on what I've read, to 2026.
Yeah.
So that could be part of it too. But it's nice to know there are still good movies out there if you want to find them. Are you watching anything on TV you could recommend?
Yeah, I mean, all of us, the whole family is really loving The Acolyte on Disney Plus.
Oh,
so
okay.
All really big fans of that show. That's the new Star Wars show that takes place. I think 100 years before Anakin Skywalker's saga. Yeah, and everyone's really into it. It's a mystery. There's someone that's hunting Jedi, and you know who's doing it, but you don't really know if their motives are good or bad, if the Jedi are bad, maybe. I mean, there's just some interesting questions that they're putting out there that you haven't really seen a lot of Star Wars movies and shows. And so all of us are really intrigued by this. It's a little bit more of a slow burner. There's not a ton of big action set pieces like Mandalorian. I think that's everyone's favorite Star Wars show, but everyone's really into The Acolyte right now.
It's so great that you can do that with your whole family too. I mean, that's so, I miss those days. It's so much fun. Hey, keep up the great work, buddy. This has been really fun. I'm glad you were on the show, and we'd love to have you back anytime, and certainly to talk about music or just anything. This has been fun.
It's been really fun. Thanks for the invitation. Really, really enjoyed it, Pete.
So you
thank
got
you
it.
Very much.
Maybe we'll have you on after Summerfest and kind of get your overview if you're cool with that. That could be fun too.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. Just give me like a day and get a cup of coffee
and have a nap. Yeah. Okay, sounds good. All right, buddy. Have a great night. Thanks, Piet.
Thanks so much. You
You're welcome. All right, that's Piet Levy. Check out his work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He does. He's a really, really good writer. He was a fun guest. Conrad, have you been watching Acolyte?
I did watch the first episode last night.
I thought you said, oh, just last night?
Yeah.
I thought we talked about this before. Okay.
Yeah. It's really good.
Wow.
Just the first episode got me attached to it right away because it just goes right into action. The first scene.
Really?
So, yeah, I recommend it for sure if you like Star Wars.
I do like Star Wars. I don't love Star Wars. My son has seen all of them. I get confused as to which Star Wars was which and what happened when, but I do like it. I watched Mandalorian and I watched Clone Wars years ago. I saw all of those. But again, if you ask me about them, I'll be like, was that Clone Wars or was that the... I just can't remember what happened when, you know?
My favorite TV show for Star Wars was the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Okay.
So good.
What was that? Was that called the Obi-Wan Kenobi series?
Yeah, it was just called Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah,
they couldn't. Kenobi. Really couldn't
I forget
do better.
What the, it's all about him though, between the third and the fourth movie. So
he's easily my favorite Star Wars character.
Oh, easily
I
mine
mean,
too.
In the coolest, you know. I mean, Han Solo was pretty cool, but Obi-Wan is.
He did. He has that comedy with Han Solo, you know. But
yeah, and you need that. But all right. So there was something else I wanted to. Oh, we had a text. Okay. So the question again tonight, folks, what is your favorite vegetable and what is your least favorite vegetable? It is National Vegetable Day. We all should eat them. We acknowledge that. So what are you eating and what will you refuse to eat? What vegetable are you just like, no way? And which one can't you get enough of? 855-752-4842 or text us on the app or on the stream. From the 814, Jameson from Pennsylvania says, fun but stupid fact, love it already, a vegetable is a culinary term. It has no value in the world of botany. Everything is a flower or fruit or tuber or whatever. The only legal definition of a vegetable is a tomato due to a Supreme Court case. Ha! Weird, isn't it? I love cauliflower and zucchini. That might be my favorite text we've gotten in the last month. That's awesome. All right, well done, Jameson. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Bob and Ray and the Alamo and TV writing with Frank Thompson on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Princess who? Often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a past.
Get up home. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.
Stacy Sue on the stream says, I took my grandson to Garfield, didn't care for it. Glad when it was over. Well, it's not really a movie for you, though, Stacy Sue, right? Like you said, you took your grandson, which is very charitable. Those are the worst, when you knew your kids wanted to see a film that you knew you were going to hate. Like some whiny lead character, and you're like, okay, so you take one for the team. You try to look at your phone in secret while the movie's playing. I get it, Stacy Sue. But that was nice of you. All right. Very excited now to introduce my next guest. He and I wrote together on a TV show that was awful. But we had a good time. And that's where I got to know him. And I found out he was like this accomplished writer while we were there. And we were both doing it because we needed the money. And that's how it works. We'll talk a little bit about Bob and Ray, the legendary comedy radio team, too, with this next guest. That's why I wanted to have him on, because he is the expert at Bob and Ray. Frank Thompson joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Pete.
Good to see you, buddy. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well in spite of it. How about you?
I'm doing
it's good to see you after all this time.
I know. It's funny. Since I've been doing this show, I've been reaching out to people who I've worked with over the years you know, a lot of times you just don't have time to keep in touch with everybody, but it's like, oh, this is a great way to catch up and talk about show business in some form or another. I'm glad we were able to do that. So it's great to have you here.
Me too.
I don't know. Should we start with Bob and Ray or Bandits versus Smokies? How do we attack this?
Which do you think is funnier?
All right. So for some background, Frank and I worked on this show. It was not a terrible idea. You get some footage of car chases and whatever, criminals being idiots, and you add voices, and that's where you and I came in. We wrote bits and we did the voices, and I think it was on country music television. And it was one of those things, I just needed a gig. I was between jobs, and I was like, oh, thank God I got this. And I went every day, and it was just a really horrible environment. But I got to sit in a room with you, and we cracked each other up. So it was a plus.
Yeah. I remember it as being mostly fun.
Yeah.
As long as we didn't have to think about what we were doing. It's probably like working at a slaughterhouse. You have to kind of distance yourself from what's actually happening. But I think it was fun. Mostly nice people there, and
yeah,
you know, we got to do some fun stuff. You remember we wrote a song one time, and my main memory of that is we wrote the song that was like 30 seconds long. And so we put it in, then we went in to watch the episode after it had been edited, and the editor had cut it down to 15 seconds and had left the music track as it was and just moved the lyrics, so that of course the lyrics and what we were singing, because we were singing together.
We were. I don't remember this.
Oh, boy. It was the Something Shuffle, because it was all kinds of footage of people just making weird leaps or, you know, getting hurt and rolling around or whatever. And beyond that, I remember very little about specific things that we did.
It was so weird.
Well, we would go over across the place and sit down at a microphone at some point during the day and just record all this VO stuff that we had written.
Yeah.
And, you know, made it as funny as we could.
What are you going to do? We were loyal employees, but I do remember there was an editor there. And every time I would say, hey, was this, we need this to be done to this. And he'd go, that's easily done. But he would never do it. I'm like, well, I know you can do it. You're an editor. I understand that. But can you do this? Because we have to have this in by 5 o'clock or whatever. It was just such a weird, like a lot of the people there just didn't seem happy. But anyway, whatever. It is what it is. It was a paycheck and it was fun. And you and I got to make each other laugh. I will say we played a joke on one of our coworkers, a guy named Dave, who we left. I don't know. Was it? It was the song "Crash Test Dummies," the "Crash Test Dummies" song, where it goes. Mm-hmm,
oh yeah, mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that song was called, but we kept every time
it's
he leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. Every time he would leave the room, we would call his phone and leave that song. And then one day we did it like 7 in a row, so he kept. He'd look at us and he'd go, "Ha ha!" Then he'd play the next one. It was that song again, and by the 6th time, he just said, "Stop it! I'm serious. Stop it." And I couldn't even control myself. I was laughing so hard. It was beautiful.
You know, over the years, I've been really tempted on many occasions to just call you and leave that as my message. But I thought, well, cruelty has a certain limit, I guess.
That's so funny. That was fun. And,
I like that song, though.
I do, too. I even liked it after we played it 80,000 times. Yeah. So are you in Asheville? I remember you and your wife had this little compound in Burbank that I thought was a really cool place. You lived by my other friend, Chip.
It was a really cool place.
Yeah. And you like couldn't wait to get out of LA though. I guess it was just time. Are you in Asheville now? Asheville, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Come July 15th, we'll have been here 9 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that's where.
Which it seems very odd.
I know a lot of
no,
people.
No, we just got out. I didn't want to leave. My wife hated LA, but I didn't. I liked it. But it just got to the point where we just couldn't afford to live there.
Yeah.
And I think you had moved away before I did, didn't you?
I did. We left in 2011. And funny because
2015.
I'm kind of with you. Like, I liked living there too. And yeah, LA's a headache. It's expensive and whatever. But for people who truly like film, I mean, you're a film historian. How do you not love living there and seeing these old theaters or showing up for work one day on a lot like that has so much history behind it? How could you not love it, right?
Yeah, it was really an incredible place. And in fact, for my current book, which is number 48, but who's counting?
Hey.
I've got a fact problem that if I lived in Los Angeles, it would be one drive to the Margaret Herrick Library and, you know, a half hour of looking around and there you go. But because I live here, it's this really complicated issue. Just following up on this thing. We got, you know, just as a little pop culture addendum, when we sold our compound, we sold it to Kyle Gass of Tenacious D.
Oh, really?
And he has his own little group of musicians that he records music with. And somebody once sent me a video just because it was a cover of a Steely Dan song or something.
Yeah.
And so I watch it and they're on my back porch. You know, they're sitting on the place. And then I've looked at several of their videos and they often record at places that I am more than intimately familiar with.
That's fun.
We lived there 10 years in that house.
Frank Thompson is my guest. He's a writer, author, TV writer, and a Bob and Ray expert. And we're going to talk about Bob and Ray, radio legends, next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network, hanging with Frank Thompson.
Saw birthmarks all over her body.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night on the show, comedian Mike Schmidt and Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin correspondent Lisa Hale will join me. I always like learning what newscasters watch on TV after we have a serious talk about stories Lisa might be covering. It'll be fun to talk to Lisa tomorrow. And as always, Mike Schmidt, a phenomenal storyteller, will be here. He's been here before and wowed us with his antics. Right now I'm talking to my old friend Frank Thompson. We've worked on TV shows together. Frank has written several books. He is a film historian. And Frank, before we move on to Bob and Ray, you said your book is 48th. What you want to get a plug in here? Where can people find it and what's it about?
Well, I'm not finished with it yet. My last one is called The Complete Beau Geste, and just gets puzzled looks from everybody that I mention it to, but it's about all the adaptations of the novel of the Foreign Legion, Beau Geste, which covers not only all the films, but plays, TV productions, toys, on and on, radio, everything. Nice. It's gargantuan. It's 1,300 pictures printed in full color. And so that's available at Amazon. So I urge everyone to go buy 5 copies each.
I think we can do that.
The next one, the one I'm working on now, is on Thunder Road, the Robert Mitchum film.
Oh, cool.
Which was filmed right here where I live.
Very cool. So when will that be done?
Yeah. I'm hoping it'll be done by the end of the summer. Okay. So cross your fingers.
I will do that. Did you know the Bruce Springsteen song Thunder Road? He got the idea for that, obviously, from the film.
He was inspired by that film.
Yeah, that's so cool. A nice gig you have there for yourself, my friend. All right. I thought of this the other day. Bob and Ray are radio legends. Bob Elliott is Chris Elliott's dad. And I don't know, Frank, if I was having car trouble or what happened, but I needed a ride to work for 2 or 3 days of 1 week we were working together. And you had Bob and Ray on the on your car, I think probably a cassette tape, maybe a CD. And I remember them from when I was a kid, but you were such a fan and spoke so passionately about them. Here's a brief, we're going to play a short clip, and then Frank and I will talk about Bob and Ray. Conrad, play the McBeebies.
From approximately coast to coast, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding take pleasure in presenting the Bob and Ray Public Radio Program.
Thank you. And to begin this one, we welcome back two dear friends of ours from days gone by, the non-identical twin band leaders, Claude and Clyde, the McBeebe twins. How are you, men?
Well, just fine.
Just fine, Bob and Ray.
It's a great pleasure, to be here, on your National Public Radio program.
Well, it's a pleasure for us to be here, too. What have you been doing since we saw you last?
Well, we've been touring with our orchestra.
Playing college proms
and series of one-nighters.
We've been keeping busy.
Occupied.
By yourself. Did you get out to the West Coast?
No, we didn't get that far.
Didn't get that far.
We got about as far as Suffern, New York. And we had trouble with the bus. Well, I don't want to go into all that. It's a big story.
Okay, well, suffice to say you've said hello, and it's good to see you again.
Well,
good luck.
Always a pleasure.
Good luck to you. And we want to remind you, too, that we our two fine sponsors are still with us, Einbinder, the greatest name in flypaper, and Monongahela.
Right. And who?
Monongahela, the metal foundry that casts its ingots with the housewife in mind.
I think that was the bit, or that was, I don't know how many of those they have with the twins, but one of them is just a half a beat behind the other one. But that's what you had on in your car, and it has stayed with me for so long, Frank. Can you give us a little background on Bob and Ray and why they were so great?
They were a team from before I was born. They were one of the longest-running comedy teams in history. They were together 43 years. And they just met when they were both working at the same radio station, and Ray was doing weather, I think, and Bob was a disc jockey, and because they were working in proximity, they just started joking with each other, and they found they had a rhythm that went together very well, and sooner or later, they got their own show, and it's really funny to me because they started in Boston and then went to New York with these morning shows. And because we know of them as mostly these dry, understated comics who are very, they work in a very minute style.
Yeah.
But in the early days, it's like morning zoo stuff. It really is wild.
Really?
And it's completely unscripted. They worked most of their careers with no writers. And then they finally did get some toward the end. I would say probably in the late 70s or early 80s. Ray died in 1990. And so it's fun watching the evolution of them. And, you know, they were never particularly topical or anything, so there's nothing that takes you back, you know, where they're not making Everett Dirksen jokes or anything, you know. they just did funny stuff. And when Ray was younger, he did a great female voice, and there were several recurring female characters. Mary backstage. They're mostly named Mary now that I think about it. One named Mary Magoon. And there's a really charming little piece that he did one time where, as one of the Marys, he just sings this song which is called "I Wish I Were a Cow in Switzerland." And it's a relatively silly song, but he sings it completely straight and doesn't do anything, you know, that a typical comedian would do to,
right,
to boost it or to, you know, wink at the audience or anything like that. And I think that's what's so great about him. They're just so subtle and so on point with everything they do. They were just remarkable people.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not really an expert on them, but I've always been a huge fan, and I've rarely gone on a long road trip without having Bob and Ray in the car with me.
Yeah. They're so great because they're not jokey. They're just, they're, you know, those are just characters. That and they're so dry, and a lot of it is very subtle, and that's what I love. And we have another clip here. Conrad, let's play this one. This is the one where the slow talker, and again, really jokey, but just reacting to each other, and it's just beautiful. Let's play that.
Yeah. This is a surprise time for me because I haven't had an opportunity to meet and talk with our next guest. Incidentally, this chair here sat in Mary Magoon's dining room for years and years. I don't know if that has any special meaning to you, sir. No. But would you sit there now and tell us your name, please?
Harlow P. Whitcomb.
And where are you from?
From Glens Falls.
New York.
New York.
And what do you do?
I am the president and recording
secretary.
Secretary of the STOA.
What does that stand for?
Slow Talkers of America. We believe
in speaking slowly.
Conrad, what happened? What did you cut that out for? Is that where it cut off?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, and that's what I love, Frank. I love that the comedy comes from him getting frustrated, and then the second he jumps the conversation is when he pipes in early. It's just so brilliant. And could comedy like this? I mean, I've had this discussion with comics over the years, and with a former manager I had. Does comedy change, or does the presentation of it change?
I think both. You know, you often wonder if somebody like Bob and Ray could be successful in the current world of comedy. I think they could. I think the world is fine with really subtle humor. It's not the most popular thing, but I think it's possible. And sometimes I watch some of the British comedy shows, and they're very understated, at least the good ones are. And it's comedy's like music. It changes with the times and in a way, and nothing you can do about that, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you do you remember seeing Bob Elliott in a film called Quick Change? You happen to see that movie? Yeah, he played a security guard. He was probably in his 80s at the time, and he was still hilarious. He was lying through his teeth and telling the police how he tried to stop the bank robbery.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's Chris Elliott's dad. Chris Elliott obviously inherited that quirky offbeat. I mean, talk about his father's son and his son's father. It's beautiful comedy.
Yeah, although Chris Elliott's style of comedy is quite different, but it's still really offbeat at its best. And, you know, all the stuff that Chris Elliott did on the Letterman show, the guy under the seats and all those things, just really great conceptual comedy that had no jokes to it at all. I mean,
right.
Like his dad's.
It was just him committing to the character where he was like the regulator guy, the guy under the seats, like you said. And one of my favorite things Chris Elliott did was when Letterman was in Chicago, Chris Elliott came out and was going to do a dance number from his new musical Legs Capone. And he started, the second the music started, he pulled a hammy and he couldn't do the dance number. And it was just like that great, all that buildup for that. I just absolutely love that. So thank you for introducing me once again, or reacquainting me with Bob and Ray, I should say, on that drive to work so many years ago. Frank, you wrote a book about the Alamo. You've been involved in documentaries about the Alamo.
Five books.
Wow. All right. So tell us where we can find.
Possibly too much.
Well, I guess. But there are other Frank Thompsons out there that I'm sure want to consume all of that, right?
Those are available wherever unloved books are sold.
Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon's the place, or Abe Books or anything like that. I encourage people to buy them if they want to, but I make nothing from them. So really, what do I care?
So do whatever you want. It's no skin off my nose.
Yep. But it was, it was fun because I've been interested in the Alamo since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And to start writing books about it, it led to, in 2003, when they made the new film with Billy Bob Thornton as Davy Crockett and so forth.
Hey, Frank,
I was involved in that.
Hold that thought right there, okay? Yeah. We got to do a quick thing. We're coming right back. And then I'm going to want to ask you what you're watching, too. We'll do that with Frank Thompson coming up next. He's helping us close out Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Jim from Appleton says, most favorite vegetable is broccoli. Least favorite is cauliflower. Strange, since they are basically sisters in the vegetable family. I did not know that. I like them both. They're both superfoods. You got to force yourself to eat this stuff, folks. Frank, do you have a favorite vegetable or least favorite vegetable?
Well, who doesn't?
I don't know. I try to eat them all.
I believe my favorite vegetable would be broccoli.
All right. Wow. Broccoli's got a lot of votes.
I don't know why. It has florets. That's why.
Have you ever eaten it blanched?
They tickle the tongue, don't they?
The first time I heard that, I think it was my mother-in-law said, I'm blanching broccoli. And I just thought that sounded like it was 1951. And it just was so bizarre. So you were talking about the Alamo and your love for the Alamo.
Yeah, it's doing all those books, and it's only books on the cultural aspect. I'm not a real historian. I'm a film historian. So I've written books on Alamo movies. I did a book called Alamo, a Cultural History. And then that got me invited. At that time, Ron Howard was going to direct the Alamo, and I and several other historians were gathered together to spent a day with them talking about it, and then I ended up getting a part in the movie, a little part.
Yeah,
but I got a close up, so there's something.
I remember that. That was really cool. Did you get to meet Ron Howard?
Yeah, we spent all day with him. Yeah,
I don't know him, but I love
him. He dropped out of it.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't. He produced it eventually, but John Lee Hancock directed it.
Okay.
And I think did a great job, and it was really something. And they actually took some of my advice about things to do. So it was mighty cool for me. Yeah.
John Lee Hancock, that's a better name for a guy producing a film about the West, I think, than Ron Howard.
Yeah, you would think. He's from Texas, too. So,
but you did show me that. I think you either showed me the scene or a still from the movie or something. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I brought it in. You know, you if you have 1 second of screen time, you may as well show it to somebody.
Exactly. Frank, what we do on this show nightly is talk about what we're watching, movies and TV. Is there anything you can recommend from a summer blockbuster standpoint or something you're binge watching on TV?
What I've been watching on TV, there are several series. I just finished Ripley on Netflix. And another Netflix show that I love, and I bet that almost everybody who hears me say this will hate it if they watch it, but it's called Copenhagen Cowboy.
Hmm.
And it's ostensibly a Danish film, but it's like David Lynch if he was thinking about getting weird. And it's just, I love it so much. It's just so peculiar. Long, slow pans across the landscape. And, you know, every time somebody's asked a question, they just stare at the other person for about 40 seconds and then answer. It's just everything I love.
You know, you say that. I thought Ripley was very slow moving, but I liked it. I thought the pace was slow, but it lent itself to the subject. It lent itself to Andrew Scott's voice. It was like a perfect match tonally. Like, I just thought it was great. So you're saying Copenhagen Cowboy is even slower than Ripley?
Oh, even slower, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It has interspersed action here and there.
Okay.
But by and large, people are very deliberate. But that's been great fun. I like Outer Range on Amazon Prime.
That's on my
kind
list.
Of a science fiction Western in a way. And but mostly what I watch is the Criterion Channel. That to me has been the greatest gift of all for a movie guy.
Yeah.
Because it just has just wonderful stuff. Too much stuff. I'll never live long enough to see it all. So
it's so good to talk to you again, buddy. This has been fun. I really appreciate
it. Great
you
talking to you.
I wish you lived closer, but we'll do this again, I hope, because I want to talk to you about your time on The Bachelor one of these days. So maybe
I often wonder how long does the NDA last.
I don't know, because
stories about that thing.
Yeah, I want to hear it all too. So let's look into that a little bit. It'll be fun to let's do this again soon. Thanks so much tonight, Frank. It's been great. That's Frank Thompson talking to us about Bob and Ray, the Alamo, film history, and so much good stuff. Truly a great guy. Thank you, Frank. Thank you also to Piet Levy for being on the show. Thank you for your texts. Great text about vegetables, good and bad. And I'm going to leave this little nugget that I read before I came here today. Conrad, do you know where the phrase friend with benefits comes from?
I don't know where it originated from, but I've seen the movie.
Well, that doesn't count.
actually don't know.
So what do you think? All right. So here's where it comes from. Alanis Morissette gets credit in the Oxford English Dictionary for creating the phrase friends with benefits. She used it in the lyrics of her song Head Over Feet. I don't know it. In 1995, quote, you're my best friend with benefits. How do you like that?
That's interesting.
Now, here's what I'm trying to do. You can leave the station tonight and go to a singles bar and drop that nugget and boom. You hear me?
They're going to look at me like I'm a madman.
you never know. Frank was talking about the Criterion Channel. Here's another interesting thing I saw. Michael Crichton is the only person who's ever had a book, a TV show, and a movie all top the charts at the same time. Well, like, seriously, what motivation do you have to work after you've done that? It's all downhill. Like, he should have spaced it out. Guess I'm on an island here. Okay. Hey, tomorrow night on the show, folks, as I mentioned before, Mike Schmidt, host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, very funny storyteller. Mike is always a blast. And Lisa Hale, who covers Northeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. I hope to see everybody back here. Conrad, this was pretty good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, You got to learn a lot about vegetables tonight.
Vegetables, movies, what we got it all.
What else?
Inside Out 2. I have already made the pledge I'm going to see Inside Out and Inside Out 2 before the weekend. So hold me to that, my friend. And we'll be back tomorrow night on the Civic Media Radio Network with more Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin.